First Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. A respectful fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to live here on this earth and to represent you in this place. You describe our time here on earth as a sojourning, and you instruct us in this passage of Scripture to sojourn in fear. We want to understand what that means. So help us in our study this day to understand the truth of it and to understand the application of it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 17 says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Sojourning. To sojourn means to dwell in a strange land. Missionaries are sojourners. They travel to other countries, leave their homeland, go to a foreign land, and sojourn there. Every so often, they'll come back home on furlough, spend some time in the homeland with family and friends. But then they go back to a different culture, different customs, sojourn among people who live very differently than we do here in this country, and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a sense in which all of us Christians are sojourners. Everyone who is a born-again member of the body of Christ is a sojourner in this world. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven." There are two different uses of the word conversation in the New Testament. One of them has to do with our nonverbal behavior. But this use in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 actually comes from the word politics. Comes from the Greek word from which we get our word politics. And when it says our conversation or our politics is in heaven, means that our real citizenship is in heaven, and we are consequently strangers and pilgrims in this world. We read the passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 a little while ago. It talks about Abraham. Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, it says. But he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. All of those in the Old Testament died in faith, not having received the promises, but it says they sought a country. They desire a better country, a heavenly country, because God has prepared for us a city, and that is the city of the New Jerusalem. So we are sojourners. This isn't our land. This isn't our country. We are sojourners in this world. Strangers and pilgrims. Ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do sojourners live in a strange land? Do they forsake all of their customs and values from the homeland and start to dress exactly like the people where they are and eat all of their food and conform to all of their customs and adopt all of their values? Or do they remain sojourners all their lives? I think it is not for us as citizens of heaven to adopt and practice all of the customs of this world, but to remain sojourners, to recognize that our citizenship is not here in this world, but in heaven. And so how are we to conduct ourselves as sojourners in this world? 1 Peter 1:17 says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, there is a kind of fear that has torments. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. This is why people fear death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15 says that Jesus delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death torments people. The idea of dying torments unsaved people. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 says they groan and travail in pain. They try to convince themselves there's nothing to it. You know, death is the opportunity to rest. I'll sleep forever. Annihilation, they say. And yet deep down inside they know, especially when they come face to face with death's door, that there is something very tragic coming, and it torments them. But this is not the kind of fear that he's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Because 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You see, there is an entirely different kind of fear that the Bible talks about. It is the fear of respect. To respect someone is to view or consider them with some degree of reverence. To respect someone is to esteem someone as possessing real worth. Respect is that course of action which proceeds from esteem, that is, recognizing the value of those who actually possess real worth. You know, the popular subject of today is self-esteem. Do you know what that actually means? It means that I consider myself to be of the highest value of anything else, and I respect myself above everything else. In the military, there's the exercise of saluting someone. Who salutes first in the military? It is always the person of lower rank that initiates the salute, because it is a gesture of respect to those who are of higher rank. The doctrine of self-esteem says that we ought to salute ourselves. But in fact, biblical fear, this kind of biblical fear, is the manner in which we conduct ourselves to show respect to those who actually deserve it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. This is the respect fear. Employers deserve respect. What it's teaching us. Employers deserve respect. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know the subject of Romans chapter 13, beginning in the first verse, the powers that be are ordained of God. It's talking about respecting those who are in authority. Those who are in authority deserve to be respected. And it's a biblical truth. And then we have 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Most of all, God deserves to be respected. That's what biblical fear, the positive kind of biblical fear, is all about. It's about conducting yourself in a manner in which you demonstrate your respect. You are to respect your employer. You are to respect those in authority. You are to respect God. Most of all, God. For in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, after Solomon goes through the whole book and explains his immersion into humanism, he comes to the very end and he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And keep his commandments. God deserves our respect. And when he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17 that we ought to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear, by coupling the idea of respectful fear with sojourning, he is telling us that as citizens of heaven, we are to live in this world in a manner that demonstrates, first and foremost, our utmost respect for the one we are representing, God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. He explains in the passage that we owe respect to the Lord Jesus Christ who redeemed us with his blood. It says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, we are redeemed. Verse 18 uses the word redeemed. In verse 19, we're redeemed. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We owe respect to the Lord Jesus Christ because he bought us with his blood. He also explains that we owe respect to God the Father because God the Father planned redemption before he created us. In verse 20, he says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God the Father planned it all before he ever created us. We owe respect to the Lord Jesus Christ because he bought us with his blood. We owe respect to God the Father because he planned our redemption before he created us. And we owe respect to the entire Godhead, including the Holy Spirit, because it is God who has provided us with the opportunity to believe and to hope. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. God the Father ordained the plan. God the Son is the one who bled and died and rose again and fulfilled the plan. The Holy Spirit is the one who uses his sword, the word of God, to penetrate our hearts and bring faith to us. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when it says in verse 17, we are to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear, our first and foremost responsibility is to live our lives in such a way that we demonstrate to all of the worldlings among whom we sojourn that we have the utmost respect for God. So how do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us. We respect, first of all, we find it right here in this passage. And I don't know if I'll get through all of them, because there are actually a lot of places in the Bible that tells us how to fear God, how to live our lives in fearing God. Very practical things. The first one was right here in verse 17. And if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. And my first point is this: we respect God by not respecting persons. What does that mean? Well, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 7. Second Chronicles chapter 19. Actually, we'll start in verse 4. I'll just mention a couple of things here. We're in the context of King Jehoshaphat. In verse 4, it says, "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem." He's king of Judah. He dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord their God, their fathers. And verse 5, he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And then Jehoshaphat gave the judges some instruction. Notice what he said in verse 6, and said to the judges, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." In other words, as the judges judged, they were not to respect persons or discriminate based upon the way a person might benefit them personally. Notice at the end of verse 7, he says, nor taking of gifts. We might call them bribes. Can you buy a judge? Can you get any verdict you want if you buy a judge? Jehoshaphat said, there are not going to be any judges who can be bought. Why? He says, I want the fear of the Lord. I want you to have such dynamic respect for God in the way you conduct yourself as a judge that you will judge exactly like God judges, fairly, correctly, based on the evidence and the facts, not on how a certain person can benefit you personally. Go over to James chapter 2. Verse 1. James chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there and say to the poor, stand thou there or sit under my footstool? Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? He says in verse 5, hath not God chosen the poor? Verse 6, but you have despised the poor. Now, the point is not that we should have no discrimination. Actually, discrimination is a pretty good word. Hold your place. I'll come back and finalize the point there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Discrimination, by the way, means to make a proper judgment. Not in the sense of, segregating schools and all of that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about making proper judgments. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, notice what it says. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. There are times we need to remove people from us if they are going to morally and spiritually contaminate our church fellowship. But the point in James chapter 2 is something very different from that. The point in James 2 is showing respect to the wealthy person because he can benefit you more than the poor person. It goes to the very same point that Jehoshaphat made with the judges in this matter of respect of persons. Why would we show greater favor to rich people when they come into our church than to poor people because they could put more money in the offering plate? You see, that's respecting of persons. And God says, oh no, you don't look at people to see how they might benefit you and treat those who can benefit you better than those who need your help. You treat everyone exactly the same. And be no respecter of persons. And when you do that, you are living your life in a manner that demonstrates your respect for God, because you are doing the same thing that God would do. Number two, we respect God by hating evil. Would you go to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, if you really respect God, you will hate what he hates. Because God hates evil. And so the fear of the Lord, the respect you need to show to God, is to hate everything that is in opposition to his holiness. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When I respect God, that means I understand who he is and what his character is and what his divine nature consists of, and out of respect for God, I will depart from evil. Psalm 5, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 5, verse 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. We respect God by hating what he hates. He hates evil. And if we truly respect God for who and what he is, we will hate evil and depart from it in our lives. Number three. We respect God by not envying sinners. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but, an exactly opposite contrast to envying sinners, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. If you really respect God, you will not envy sinners. What does it mean to envy sinners? Well, let's look at an example in the Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And we begin in verse 1. Psalm 73, Asaph writes the psalm. He says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Do any wicked people ever get rich in this world? Do they ever have advantages that we seem never to be able to get? Do they get away with things? He describes some of that here in verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return thither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And so in verse 13, Asaph says to himself, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Here are these wicked people who are rich and getting away with everything. And I have cleansed my hands before the Lord, tried to lead a clean life to please the Lord, and everything is going wrong. And he says, I was envious of the wicked who prosper. Does it ever seem like life turns out that way? The rich and famous get away with everything, and we poor Christians suffer. He says, verse 16, when I thought to know this, he's thinking about it. He wants to understand it. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. They're getting away with it now. But when their end comes, it'll be very different. On the other hand, we may suffer for a while, but what is our end? Heaven and the presence of God. Sinners who are prospering in this world do not respect God, and we cannot respect God if we envy people who do not respect God. On the other hand, when we fear God, when we respect Him as we ought to, we understand that He is the one who will bring the prosperity of sinners to a screeching halt in eternal condemnation. But we will be delivered to eternal life. Number four, we respect God by keeping His commandments. I read to you a little bit earlier that verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Those two things go together. Look in Psalm 112 and verse 1. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. If you respect God, you will not only obey His commandments, you will delight in them. It will be a delightful thing for you to obey God's commandments. Children show respect to their parents by obeying them. So the parent says, Johnny, take out the garbage. Johnny says, in a minute. Did you ever get that response? But the minute turns into 2 hours and the garbage has still not been taken out. And so the parent says, Johnny, you know how the inflection of the voice changes a little bit, take out the garbage. Johnny says, I will, but never does. Young people, that is disrespect. And your parents deserve to be respected. But the same scenario can be true in our lives as the children of God. He has given us His word. And if we fail to read it, we are disrespecting God. And if we fail to obey it, we are disrespecting Him even more. To fear or respect God means we take heed to His word and we delight in keeping His commandments. In another place, it tells us that we respect God by serving Him acceptably. In another place, it tells us we serve God by being faithful with a perfect heart. In another place, it says we respect God by cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And then there are the benefits of respecting God. Respecting God leads us to wisdom and knowledge. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we respect God as we ought to, That is our pathway to wisdom. It is also our pathway to knowledge for Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Respecting God leads to having confidence. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." We will never be able to be as confident as we could be when we respect God as we ought to. Respecting God leads to contentment. Proverbs 19 and verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be satisfied." Respecting God gives your life value. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 22, verse 4. And respecting God leads to quality of life. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, it says in Proverbs 10, 27. And in Proverbs 14, 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Would you go to Psalm 34? Verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it." The teaching of the fear of the Lord is the teaching of a manner of living, a manner of conduct in which we demonstrate through the way we live that we respect God. Fearing God is simply that. Do you respect Him or not? We fear the Lord by the manner in which we pass our time here, sojourning in fear. When missionaries go to other countries and people there see the missionaries coming, they know where they come from. They can tell they're Americans. They don't even have to speak. You can see it in their mannerisms. There's something about Americans. As we live our lives as Christians in this world, there ought to be something about us that impresses people that we're citizens of heaven. And the thing that ought to demonstrate that to them is that we live our lives in such a manner that it shows we respect God. We respect God for making the plan for redemption before He ever created us. We respect the Lord Jesus Christ because He paid the price for our redemption. We respect the Holy Spirit because through His use of the Word of God, He brings us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and works in us and dwells in us and helps us to live day by day to the glory of God. Do we respect God as we ought? It is our responsibility to pass our time of sojourning here in respecting God as we ought. And when we do, the fear of the Lord will be a strong leg to stand upon in the true grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your instruction to our hearts. Help us to understand in very practical terms what it means to sojourn here in fear of you, in respect of you, who is worthy and deserves respect from us all. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.